My brief presentation is going to focus on the issue of transit in Russian energy strategy. I will somehow share my views on this issue with you. Next, please. And I will structure my presentation in the following way. I will start by presenting some views on energy strategy as such and on the Russian debate on energy security. Then I will move on to talk about Russian energy strategy under Putin. I'm not going to talk about policy documents, but about the factual and actual implementation of this strategy under Putin. And then I will narrow the scope of my presentation to the issue of transit in Russian energy strategy. Next, please. When talking about energy strategy, we have to pay attention to several aspects of this discussion. I have listed those aspects stretching from legal aspects to technological aspects, environmental aspects, economic aspects, political aspects, and not least the issue of resource basis for this strategy. The issue, this last issue was thoroughly discussed in the former session. I'm not going to talk about this issue right now. I think also that when talking about energy strategy, we have to bear in mind what kind of actors we have to do with. There are, in fact, three groups of actors involved in this energy game: producers, transit countries, and customers. The main issue here is maybe where does Russia belong. I will further explain that I think that Russia belongs, in fact, to all those three categories. Russia is definitely a big producer of energy. Russia is, to a certain extent, a transit country and customer as well. When talking about when talking about Russian energy strategy, we have to bear in mind that we are talking, in fact, about at least two dimensions of this strategy. We talk about oil and gas. I will focus this presentation on gas. When talking about gas in the Russian context, we have to bear in mind that we have an actor that has the biggest reserves in the world. We talk about long-term strategic partnerships that have also much to do with the fact that producers and markets are bound together by rather costly and rigid infrastructure. This means also that we have a very clear regional dimension of this dimension. EU is the main customer of Russian gas. 63% of Russian gas exported to external markets went to EU in 2007. There are also some new technological developments. The most important of them is the LNG that can, in the long term run, change the logics of the gas markets. Next, please. I will not go to all those points that are listed in this overview of the Russian energy strategy until 2020, only point at the fact that the issue of gas is only one of the aspects that are dealt with in this official document. I will, however, pay some attention to how the importance of transit is defined in this strategy, narrowing now the scope of my presentation to the issue of transit. Please, next. Those are the statements coming from the official English translation of the main points of the strategy. Those are those dealing with the issue of transit. So we see that Russia means that the issue of transit has a special meaning in the realization of the country's long-term energy strategy, and Russia also claims that providing the undiscriminatory transit of energy is one of the key elements and one of the key challenges and problems. I will now move to say a few words about the actual implementation of the energy strategy under Putin, paying some attention to the issue of transit and how it is somehow framed in this context. There are several points here that are important to bear in mind. I think that with Putin's ascent to power, we have seen a very clear adoption of a more comprehensive and strategic approach to the energy sector. We have seen definitely a consolidation of the state's role, especially in the oil branch. one of the key elements of the strategy was the strengthening of the link between the country's political and economic elite, symbolized by the placement of Putin's key aides and close friends in the key positions in the Russian energy sector. This has also a very clear international dimension, the fact that the former German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder is somehow politically responsible for the realization of the one of the key energy projects. The Nord Stream project is a very clear manifestation of the fact that this link has been also strengthened on the international arena. The Russian state still has almost complete control of the pipeline system, both when it comes to oil and when it comes to gas. The key elements of this strategy on the international level is the strategy of transit avoidance and strategy of transit control. When we look at the way the Central Asian energy suppliers can operate, this is clearly an effect of the implementation of the strategy of transit control. There is also a very clear policy of preventing other actors' access to profitable markets. Here again, the issue of Central Asian producers is the key point. Energy has been used as a political tool, both in Russian domestic politics and internationally. We have listened today to the discussion on the issue of domestic prices for energy. This is a clearly political use of energy, because from a purely economic point of view, Gazprom should have raised the prices on the domestic markets many years ago. It was mostly due to the political concerns that this hasn't been done yet. Then we have also, over especially the last couple of years, seen an attempt at limiting the role of Western companies in the Russian energy sector. The question of TNK, BP, the whole issue around Sakhalin 2, and so on and so on. Although we have also seen some moves in other direction, the invitation of Total and Statoil Hydro to develop to the project on the Shokman field is one example. Another one is the fact that Gazprom has decided to give some assets in return for Ions and Basol in cooperation at the Yuzhno-Russkoye field. Another important element of this strategy was Russian focus on downstream and what I could term midstream investments. Gazprom has expressed interest in acquiring some strategic assets in Western Europe. The issue of the ownership of the transit lines in Belarus and Ukraine has also been an important element here. And then there is also this issue of building formal and informal coalitions with other energy producers. The whole talk about establishment of the gas OPEC is a very clear expression of this kind of approach. Now, when we're talking about transit in Russian energy strategy, next please. I have already mentioned that in my view, Russia is both a customer and producer and a transit country. Seen from the Moscow's point of view, the issue of transit is important in all those three aspects. The key element is definitely the issue of the transit of Russian gas and oil to territories of other countries to the energy markets, first of all in Europe. Russia covers more than 40% of EU's gas imports, almost one-fifth or even one-fourth of the total consumption of gas in the European Union comes from Russia. 70% of this gas is still transported to Ukraine, 20% to Poland and Belarus. The rest is supplied directly to the Western European markets. The issue of transit is important because transit involves political risks, economic costs, and transport bottlenecks. And this result of that is lack of control when it comes to supplying customers with energy commodities. Russian response to this challenge has been launching of some new transit of new projects. Nord Stream and South Stream are the most important ones, and the main logics behind those projects is the issue of transit avoidance. Russia wants to re-establish a direct link between Russia and the most important energy customers in Europe. As I mentioned earlier, Russia is also a transit country. This is especially visible when it comes to the issue of central gas supplies to Ukraine, and by 2009 Russia is going to be a country to which between 40 and 50 BCM of the Central Asian gas is going to be supplied to Ukraine. The gas is going to be supplied to Russia, but then Russia is going to supply Ukraine with a similar amount of gas from its own production fields. Another important transit dimension here is also the question of the transit of gas through the Russian territory, and the fact that Gazprom and in that way the Russian state has still the monopoly on export and on transit from fields to customers. This is an issue that those independent Russian gas producers have to somehow cope with. This poses a kind of strategic challenge to them, and also to those who want to buy gas not from Gazprom. Russia is also a target country when it comes to supplies of gas. Russia receives something like 40 BCM, or is going to receive something like 40 BCM of Turkmenistan gas by 2009, and also smaller amounts of gas are going to be provided by Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. This means also that Russia is becoming increasingly dependent on other countries' goodwill when it comes to transit of gas from those Central Asian customers to Russia itself. So when talking about transit dimension of Russian energy strategy, we have to bear in mind that the main focus in Russia is on the transit of Russian energy supplies to Western European customers, but at the same time Russia faces also some other challenges, like being a target country for supplies of gas from Central Asia, and also the issue of Russia as being a transit country in more general sense. There are also certain new challenges to this Russian transit dimension. I think that there are mostly two types of challenges when it comes to Russian gas transit of gas. The one group of challenges is this issue of geopolitical challenges, the building of new routes between gas suppliers and gas customers. The competition between Nabucco and South Stream is a very clear exemplification of this kind of challenges. There are also some technological challenges, the issue of LNG, of which I have been talking about a little bit earlier, is definitely an issue that has to be dealt with when discussing the issue of transit of Russian gas. As far as LNG is concerned, Russia is going probably to face similar challenges as in the case of oil transport, because Russia still lacks open water facilities, and this may mean that Murmansk may become a new gas and even oil hub, because Murmansk is the only place in Russia today from which Russian gas and oil supplies can be directly to the global market, avoiding those geographical bottlenecks. This is a picture that we have all to bear in mind when talking about transit. I will not dwell upon this picture that much. This is a kind of illustration of the overall challenges and problems we may face when discussing this gas. I will, however, talk a little bit about the next, please. About Russia's gas ambitions in a kind of mid-term perspective. As it was already said during the first panel, Russia has certain ambitions, wants to become an even more important supplier of gas to Europe. This is a map from this Mediterranean Center for Studies of Energy, which shows what are the future plans of the main suppliers of gas to Europe. Russia is to retain its key position at this market and is supposed to be willing to export as much as 200,000 billion BCM by 2020. In order to do so, Russia has to take a look at its infrastructure, and here again the issue of the transit is one of the key issues. This is a table showing Russian shares in the future energy markets in Europe according to a study from 2003. This is only for your information, not for your information only, because I wanted only to present those figures in order to give you a kind of insight in what we are talking about. Russia is to retain its key position on the European market. When it comes next, please. When it comes to the question of when it comes to the question of transit, we see that already today there is a kind of surplus of capacity vis-à-vis export. Russia exported 151 BCM of gas to Western European countries. At the same time, the capacity of the existing Russian pipelines was much higher. So this raises the issue of to what extent the fact that Russia embarks on two ambitious pipeline projects is economically motivated, or whether there are also some political elements in this decision. This is also a table showing the future development in this field, showing that the capacity is going to increase and is going also by 2010 and 2015 be much higher than the planned supplies of the Russian gas. This is probably to give Russia much more flexibility when it comes to directing its flows of gas to Europe. This is probably the main and key element in Russian strategy. The last issue I want to make you look at is why this strategy of transit avoidance is that important to Russia. Contrary to other key supplies of gas to Europe, Russia is today to a very large extent dependent on having access to the territories of other countries in order to supply its energy to Europe. This is a kind of table prepared by Stanislav Konopranik from the Energy Charter Secretariat in Brussels, showing Russian dependence on third countries and second countries and even four countries when it comes to the supplies of Russian gas to Europe. This is probably one of the key rationales behind Russia's transit strategy as it is being realized now under Putin, and is going probably to be realized also under Medvedev. I will